Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You're listening to 100 Words or Less with Ray Harkins.
Oh, hello, everybody. I'm recording this in the past, technically, because I'm actually on a plane coming back from the United Kingdom. But the podcast train continues to roll because we celebrate independent music, whether it's metal, hardcore, punk, indie rock, emo, whatever shade of the genres that you're talking about, as long as it's connected to the DIY scene, we cover the people who are involved with it. And today is the last live episode that I will be releasing from my experience at the LDB Fest in Louisville, Kentucky. It was a great, great time there. We had a nice little podcast room where I was able to have discussions with people. And honestly, I was splitting a lot of these up together just because the conversations were around, 20, 25 minutes or so. But I got along so well with Mark, and I had never met him before. I was obviously familiar with his band, Fuming Mouth. And if you are not familiar, you need to get yourself familiar immediately. Fuming Mouth is, oh man, they're so good. And they recently signed Nuclear Blast Records, which is great. Congratulations to them. But Mark was just such a great hang and a really good chat in ways that, because he went through a battle with cancer, for those of you that were not aware, I personally contributed to his GoFundMe campaign. It was one of those things where, I know people see this stuff kind of, ping pong around the internet. And I feel this really interesting obligation for people who are involved in our independent music scene to be like, oh yeah, like I'll put in, 10, 15, 20 bucks, whatever I can contribute to hopefully make their lives easier because they have contributed to our little side of the world. And not trying to take any credit because I was one of, 10,000 plus people that donated or whatever. But regardless, Mark went through a journey and we were able to talk about that in front of people. And I thought it was really cool and engaging and vulnerable for him to do that. I mean, I know he doesn't pull any punches in regards to his interviews and stuff like that. But yeah, he was just excited to have this conversation. And so I felt like this one should stand on its own. Not to say that anytime I split up these episodes that the other ones are of lesser value. That is not the case. But I just felt like Mark's conversation should stand alone. So that's what we're doing here. You can always email the show, 100wordspodcast@gmail.com. I appreciate any and all feedback, whether it's just guest ideas or just saying hi, whatever the case may be. Love to get those emails. And you can also support the show for absolutely free. It takes you maybe 15 seconds of your time. Leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And I know you probably hear me say it week in and week out, but less than like 5% of the listeners of this very podcast do it. And I want you to be a part of that 5%, because then the more and more it happens, you get the drift. Like I said, 20 seconds max. And then if you want to take an additional maybe 10 seconds, if you're listening to it on Spotify, just toss a star rating. That's all you need to do. Obviously, if you feel like it's worth 5 stars, leave that. But all of this helps the algorithm, helps the discovery. And ultimately, if you want to share this particular episode or any of the episodes on social media, I, of course, always appreciate that as well. So thank you. I'm having my hands folded and like bowing to you as like a ninja master or something like that. But regardless, I'm on my way back from the Outbreak Fest, and I'm predicting that I've had a great time. Because I'm recording this well in advance, but Outbreak Fest, I love what they do. Was able to work closely alongside of them this year to not only curate their stage and have really, really engaging and interesting discussions, but launch their own podcast, which I will include a link in the show notes of this very episode, and you will be able to check it out. We just recently launched it, with the first episode being a conversation between Joey from Koyo and Ryan from One Step Closer, a little artist and artist interview play. And we'll be releasing more episodes over the course of the year, because that's why this podcast exists. So it'll be a different flavor than what you get here and in other podcasts. So please check out the Outbreak Official Podcast. Okay. So without further ado, even though literally everybody says that when they're tossing it over to an interview, so I try to avoid that cliche, but I just said it, so there, I'm not avoiding anything. But before I throw it over to Mark, I want to let you know about Rockabilia.com. It is the place that you can purchase so many pieces of clothing that are otherwise known as band merch. It's like pieces of clothing. What am I? I want to talk about J. Crew or something like that? No, Rockabilia traffics in officially licensed band merch from, you know, Black Sabbath, Bring Me the Horizon, Grateful Dead, Jimi Hendrix. I don't care what you're into, you probably will find something there. But most important thing that you can do is show support of this company by obviously purchasing some stuff through them, but use this promo code 100 words or less that gets you 10% off your entire order. It's all shipped from the Midwest here in the United States of America. And it's an independently owned business. And there's some hardcore kids that work over there. So I love to support those businesses in so many different ways, including talking about why you need to order merch from them. Whether it's buying stuff for yourself, friends, family, whatever it is, you'll be able to find it there. Rockabilia.com, 100 words or less for 10% off of your order. Now, here's the discussion with Mark.
But I am lucky because I was able to email Mark from the great band Fuming Mouth, and he responded immediately and was like, "No, I'm not going to do that with you." And I'm like, "Please, Mark, come on." And then I
changed my mind.
Yeah. But all joking aside, he hit back immediately and was like, "Yeah, I'm down for this." So I genuinely appreciate you participating in this experiment, but we will obviously put the episode out later and everybody will. Yeah, exactly. This is our.
Thank you, Ray.
It's my pleasure. Well, I'll dive into the idea of Fuming Mouth is a interesting band for a lot of different reasons. I mean, since the dawn of heavy music, there's always been this like blending between metal and hardcore. Like obviously, once those genres were more mature, and people have problems kind of like, is this too metal for hardcore, or is this too hardcore for metal? Like, I don't know what box to put it in. And it seems like pretty much since the get-go with Fuming Mouth, you've always been like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And it seems like that's kind of, I don't know, a mission of your vision to be like, I don't care whether you classify it metal or hardcore. It's just heavy and aggressive. I'm going to guess that was kind of where maybe you were coming from, or was that just a function of the music that you liked?
I definitely think so. It was even deeper than that, where a lot of bands, when I was starting Fuming Mouth, They would play punk shows, they would play hardcore shows, they would play metal shows, bands like Power Trip, bands like, and I specifically mean a band like Power Trip because they would play like an absolute, like a basement show,
right,
like punk. And then they would play like a hardcore festival, like you'd see United Blood or something in like Richmond. Yeah. And they would play like, obviously, like huge metal festivals. So, other bands like that, like Harm's Way and stuff, they really have like that full spectrum. And just watching that, I did have a conscious idea where it's like, I want Fuming Mouth to be able to fit into all these boxes.
Right.
And then for there to be no box, and it can just, you know, kind of be what you were saying. You know?
Right.
Like,
and I mean, it's cool that now most kids kind of in general, I don't care if you're like an actual 18-year-old child or if you are an older person, where it's like the lines that, I mean, I know that like when you first start to get into punk or hardcore, you're just like, oh, I'm a punk or hardcore kid. Like, you know, if I listened to like Good Riddance 5 years ago, that sucks now.
Yeah.
You have to really draw those straight lines. But I
was like, I'm a metal kid.
Right.
Like there was a good period of time. I saw Sick of It All and they were like, metalheads on this side, hardcore punk kids on this side, we're going to do a wall of death.
Who's
and I
win?
Was like, I'm going to the metal side. And all my friends were like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, because they were like hardcore kids. But like, I was dead serious. So it's like that, you know?
Right. No, it's been, because
it's really like that. It's
right.
Like, yeah.
You peg your identity.
Identity.
Right. It's like, and you have to choose a side. Because like, I like to call it kid logic. Where you're just basically like, yes, I am this person and I will never be anything but this.
Yeah.
And then as you grow older, you're like, oh, you mean I can, you know, I can like sports and like metal or whatever?
Yeah.
You can do those things.
Yeah. There was this photographer in Massachusetts. He does Return to the Pit. Do you know that?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
He was the one, I was talking to him because I was like, how do you, you take pictures of like every kind of show. Like, how do you do that? Why do you do that? And he just goes, oh, this is all the same shit. It's all the same.
Right.
And when he said that to me, like, it really didn't make sense. But I've always thought about him. It was The Carriers' last show.
Oh, that's
sure. Where he said that. Did you like that band?
Yeah, I remember that band. Yeah,
I love that band.
Right.
And he said that to me. I've always thought about him. I'm like, I guess that's true.
It really is all the same stuff. It's just different shades of it.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's here for the same reason. And that's like what makes this festivals like LDB like awesome, in my mind.
Yeah. No, totally. And this may sound like the most basic and stupid question, and I apologize for asking it, but like I literally don't know where you're from.
Massachusetts.
Okay, I thought it was that generic, like the Worcester area, or what are you talking?
Yeah, that's weird. We started in Worcester and then moved out to Boston.
Okay, yeah. Got it. Yeah, so you
technically Milford is where it started.
Okay,
small town, not really that small actually, but close to Worcester. Moved to Worcester, moved to Boston, yeah.
Right, yeah. Because, I mean, obviously, the New England Metal and Hardcore Festival in Worcester. I just like to say Worcester because it's funny.
You're killing it.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's it.
As a West Coast Californian, I'm nowhere near. Like, it's like when people say, like, if I were to say Louisville, like, people would be like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
It's Louisville. Like, a lot of mouthful marbles. But so, and that area, like the Merrimack Valley in general.
Yeah.
So much like hardcore punk metal. I mean, Cave-In, like the list can go on.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you were like, were you just kind of drinking it all in? I mean, I know you said you're a metal kid, so I understand.
Yeah. I like didn't get it at first. I was going to metal shows and they like sucked and they're just really bad. And then like, luckily, there is a skate park near my house, Rad Skate Park, and they had great hardcore shows just always going on. And then Merrimack Valley, at the same time, there's this other venue, Anchors Up.
Same
deal. So like, yeah, I was definitely drinking in that like time period more than like even like living in the moment, like what band's next, what's this band covering.
Right.
It was very like how do I put it, like a little bubble in Massachusetts. It was really cool.
Yeah
So like, yeah, I grew up with Cave-In and stuff. But it was more like
whatever's happening in your area was.
Yeah, at the time, like I said, The Carrier earlier, but like there was this really cool hardcore band, Villain, I loved, and this other like really evil band, Abomination, that was like pure, terrifying like death metal.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You bringing up Carrier is so interesting because there are certain bands in certain cities that becomes so popular, and then you travel 2 hours outside the state, and people are like, "Who's the carrier?"
Yeah,
They just played for like 600 people, and like, and it just happens from certain areas.
It does, it does, and then it does.
Yeah,
yeah. We'll leave it at that. Yeah.
No, it's very true, and and then sometimes it's bands for. It's so hard for bands like to get out of their local area, because then it becomes, you're like, dude, why would I play this show in front of like negative four people when I can drive back home and play in front of, you know, 400 people at a hall, and it's just like the best time ever. Yeah. It's tough to get over that like next hump, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, what do you mean by negative four people?
I mean that you can play shows, you know, whatever, even if it's just like in a stone's throw from where you're doing well and play in front of like two people and like have no one care, and you're just like, dude, we played not very far away, and like it's tough for, I mean, when you're in a band and you're having fun, you're like, why don't I just play the fun shows?
I gotta say, like, I'll always, small shows are great because that's where you can meet your friends,
sure,
and where you can meet your bandmates, so where you can actually make like long-lasting relationships. Fests like this are awesome, but they can be really overwhelming, and it's a lot of like boom, 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 like everyone's like walking by each other. So I have had that thought a million times.
Totally,
it's like, why am I playing to five people? Why am I doing this? But at the same time, now it's like, if you get that opportunity where you're only everyone's going to have to communicate and talk to each other at the shows.
Right, exactly.
And like, you're going to make friends.
Yeah,
you're going to meet bandmates. Yeah. You're going to figure out how to do this at those shows.
Totally.
Like, even, I really believe in like small shows like that.
I agree, because even if it is a glorified brand practice, the fact that two that like two people showed up and you're like, "Well, now you're going to be my best friend whether you like it or not."
Like, you're watching our band practice. Want to get in on this? Like, yeah, exactly.
Totally.
Yeah.
You're going to buy our one shirt that'll give us enough gas money to get to the next town. Thank you. I literally can't thank you enough for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Always thrilled to tell you about evilgreed.net. They are an amazing web store solution provider for record labels and bands, but for you as the consumer as well, because you can purchase stuff off of these particular store sites. And what makes Evil Greed special? Well, hold on. Before I tell you what makes them special, you need to use this promo code 100 words. Then you go to evilgreed.net, you put a bunch of stuff in your cart, you get 10% off of your entire order. Let me just list some of the labels that you are talking about working with. And by say working with, I mean ordering from. We got Revelation, we got Run for Cover, we have Other People Records, Metal Blade, Maggot Stomp, Days Style, Death Wish. They have all of this cool stuff. Basically, if it falls underneath the banner of artistic heavy stuff, that is what they do. And they do that so, so well. They're based in Berlin, Germany, but guess what? The shipping rates are so cheap to us here in America, so it works out to our advantage. I've ordered from them before. I've got stuff in like around a week. It's incredible. So go to evilgreed.net, use the promo code 100 words. It lets them know that you listen to the show, and then you use the promo code and marketing works. It's beautiful. So thank you to evilgreed.net, and go buy to your heart's content.
I know, obviously, a lot has been said, and it's probably pretty overwhelming for you to recognize, like, you know, your battle with cancer and leukemia. Yeah. And that, like, I mean, for me, I'm not saying this because, I mean, we have literally never met, but I contributed to your GoFundMe because it's like, it's that scene that where it was funny. Well, you're welcome. I wasn't looking for that, but you're welcome.
Yeah, no.
I was actually communicating to my 11-year-old son this morning. I was going to be interviewing you, and you had gone through that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've never met Mark. I like his band, gave money. And my son was kind of like, oh, so you don't know? Like, and I'm like, yeah, just like the scene takes care of itself.
Yeah.
I'm sure as that was happening, like how, it's probably difficult to maybe describe those emotions, but like how was it for you as you started to see that support kind of come in from literal strangers?
It was amazing. For so many reasons, definitely for myself and my girlfriend, like, it was huge. I think it was really huge for my, like, really close family, like, parents.
Yeah.
My dad and my mom, and just being like, why are these people giving you money? Why are they, like, doing this? Like, and I explained it to them, and I think they were just like overwhelmed, you know, and then that made me overwhelmed. It's almost like, Yeah, it's really hard to put into words how like incredible it was, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I totally realized.
For me personally, it's like I can speak watching like, you know, family members that like were seeing it, but yeah, it was just...
It's a lot.
It's hard to put into words because it was like there was a point where like... I don't even want to talk about this, but I'll just say it. Like, there's a point where me and my girlfriend were sitting next to each other, and like, we were just like, how are we going to pay for rent?
Sure.
And like, it was just so weird how it happened.
Because
we were just at this like really bad place, and there were certain people like, oh, don't do that. Don't make a GoFundMe. And other people were like my cousin was like, you have to. That's what you do in these scenarios, you know?
Yep.
Especially like this day and age. And, yeah.
It's right.
Just like, I almost feel like that saved my life more than like other shit, you know?
Well, I appreciate you saying that because I think it's not only being vulnerable and sharing, but just the idea that something that feels like it could be, you know, whatever, inauthentic, cheesy, where it's like, I'm putting myself out there,
yeah.
you know, panhandling on the internet, like all those things that people say, not about obviously your particular, campaign, but just the idea of that where it's like, I am really putting myself out there, and the fact that people recognize this as not only being a legitimate thing, but authentic, and being like, yo, dude, Mark's been a part of the community.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, to have it wash over you and be like, oh, I got to explain it to my parents. Like, all of this stuff starts to trip into the consciousness where you're like, I never even thought that this was even possible.
It's yeah, that's what I mean. It's just like, yeah, it's a level of gratitude that I find hard to put into words.
It'll probably be 15, 20 years before you can really just be like, oh, now I can actually like talk about that maybe eloquently.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Which is unfair of me to ask that, but I have
no,
to.
No, it's not.
We had a trip across that. So.
No, you can ask as much. It's not unfair. No, I'm like an open book when it comes to this shit, for real.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Was it, as you were kind of going through, you know, the treatment, and because it's just, I mean, there's so much that you go through because you went through chemotherapy too, right? Or some version
of
it?
I had chemotherapy 3 times, but my last time was like a shotgun blast to my whole entire body. It was the highest dosage of chemotherapy a human being can get because they won't give it to anyone over 65 because they could die from it.
Right.
But at the time I was 31. So I was like the perfect age to
recover from that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, where it's like I'm not like growing or developing or anything, so I could just like take it. You know what I mean? So yeah.
Sure, yeah. And so I'm sure that there were a lot of people in your ear, or maybe not, but like giving you advice and like, you know, just try and see whether it be encouraging. Was there anything that sticks out to you as being like, oh man, this moment, it doesn't even have to be the moment or the person, but like, is there something that sticks out when I mention that?
Yeah, the owner of 20 Buck Spin. I don't know if you guys like, do you guys know that record label at all?
Yeah, that record. Yeah.
You gotta check it out because there's tons of different bands on it, like Terminal Nation's on it, but then they do a lot more like obscure metal stuff and they do a lot across the genre. The owner of 20 Buck Spin had cancer 17 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And he hit me up and we had like a pretty long conversation. And just at the end of it, he's like, you need to eat and drink. And I didn't even question it. I just went, okay. Right. And I would force myself to do it all the time. I felt fine. I was like, why do you say that? But I trust him. I'm just going to keep forcing myself to eat more and drink more. And then it happened. Then the weight loss thing happened.
Yeah.
And I think I lost like 40 pounds, 30 pounds. People lose 90.
Sure.
You know, like insane amounts. And I think I'm like, damn, would I have been like that if it wasn't for him?
You're like, I don't know. Yeah. But
I really don't. So that's the one that sticks in my head where I'm like, his words were, it was just that advice where I'm like, thank God he gave it to me, you know?
Yeah.
I think I would have been fucked without him. Yeah.
Sure. No, that's incredible that stuck in your brain and you're like, I don't know why I'm doing this, but like I remember him telling me that.
And it was such like eat and drink. It was out of anyone's advice. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, not like, Mark, mundane, be positive.
Yeah, like that. He's like, because we finished talking and then he just added that and something about the way he said it just really struck me and like freaked me out.
Totally.
So, shout out to him. That was the best advice I got.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
two last things I wanted to hit on was the idea that once you started to play shows again, not only was it compounded by the fact that you had just been through medical trauma, but then clearly the entire world had been like locked down for obvious reasons. Like getting on stage, I'm honestly surprised that you were able to kind of do that and like literally play a show, because so much could have been going through your brain where you're like,
yeah,
I can't even play. I don't even know how to play. But like, I guess, how did you either gather the courage or the, you know, the resolve to get up and obviously play again?
I think the biggest thing was like, we released our first album, The Grand Descent, in 2019, and about 9 months into it, like touring on it, COVID took us off the road, and we wrote our second album. And during that time, that whole time, I was like, I can't wait to play a fucking show. And then like when when I got diagnosed with cancer on top of waiting for it, it just like made me want to play even more, because I was already really hungry to play.
Sure.
So it was just like, I can't let this stop me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's like just that idea that it's like, yeah, but like the whole world got dealt this card. I got dealt this card. That doesn't matter. I'm going to push through it and get to play a show. I get it.
Yeah. It was kind of like I had already had the thought and like all those thoughts like, damn, can I get on stage again? Like even through COVID, like kind of, and I knew I was going to with that because I had my health intact. But, you know, there were like, I had doubts about it, but
that hunger was more than anything.
It was just like, it was just like something turned up the heat.
Right. You're like, I don't even care if I'm nervous or I'm terrible. Like, clearly the support was going to be there, where it's like, clearly I don't need to play my best show.
Yeah.
I'm serious here. Yeah.
I'm serious. Yeah. Or exactly what you said. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm just, showing up is 80% of anything, even if you fucking suck at it.
Totally. Yeah.
I used to like not think that was true. I always like I used to be such a perfectionist, and now I realize I'm like it's a very bad quality to have.
Yeah. No, right. It's like you have to relinquish a little bit of that.
You
control,
have to.
Right.
You absolutely have to. And one of those things is just showing up, just doing it. And that's why I was like, okay, just gonna walk on stage and we'll see what happens.
See how it goes.
Yeah.
I've been asking this question to people here at the festival because I feel like it's a never-ending debate. And to be clear, there's no wrong answer, so don't feel the pressure. But stage dives or sing-alongs?
Sing-alongs.
Like, I was going to give you some more context, but I love it. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me why.
I just love them. I think they're awesome. I want people to sing along to Fuming Mouth, but they just want to beat the shit out of each other. But that's always been my dream, I guess. It's just like, it's since day one, since we were talking about like the bridging, like punk, hardcore, metal, is like, I've always just thought like, sing-alongs are just like, if we could get Fuming Mouth like to be a sing-along band, that would be so fucking weird.
It would be so strange
because it's like everyone's just like, here's the heaviness. I'm like, oh, I should like mosh really hard or something.
Right.
And I think that's kind of projected by a lot of death metal bands that you just can't sing along to it.
No.
It's like you can't make out what the fuck they're saying. They're doing it so... It's just like not like that. So right. I've always like tried to make my lyrics like very important, at least to me.
Sure.
And the crowd will just take it how they take it. But I've always wanted it to be a sing-along more than stage dives. Throw the barrier up. Let's get the sing-along going.
Just
sing
like
the lyrics.
This huge wall where you're just like, listen, you can't get on stage. Or you could be like, if you sing along, you can get on stage.
Yeah. It's like step one, step two.
I would love the Fuming Mouth manifesto that you put out there, where it's just like, you could literally put that in your liner notes, where it's just like, listen, here, like, I'm really trying to manifest this. Like,
here
we go. And then pretty soon, like, everyone's going to be singing along, and you're like, all right, welcome on stage.
Yeah. You've made it to level two, stage dive.
Right, exactly. you didn't know that you had to participate in this, but here we go.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, thank you very much for doing this. I genuinely appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Give it up for Mark, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. Appreciate Mark for talking about all that stuff in front of a live studio audience. I just like to say that because, you know, it makes it sound like we're working on a late night show or something. But Mark was very, very kind and a great dude. And you need to check out his band, Fuming Mouth. They're really, really good. like I said, signed a Nuclear Blast. New record coming out, I think, at some point this year / early 2024, but keep your eyes peeled to their social medias and such. Next week, we have a great, great discussion with Sean Leary from Loma Prieta and Jerome's Dream. Talk about, you know, some screamo legends, so to speak. But if you've not checked out the new Jerome's Dream record, that thing blew my socks off. I love it so much in ways that I was like, I really didn't expect to like it as much as I did, but holy moly, it's good. So anyways, had to have Sean on the show. And yeah, he was a great chat. Very thoughtful, insightful dude. And we had a great chat. So that is what we got next week. Until then, please be safe, everybody. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Trust me in saying that no matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all of the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.